Hi, welcome to Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. My name is Vince. This is episode... And we're also here today with...
It's me.
It's him. Hello,
special guest car.
Hey, special guest
Hello,
car.
Hello.
How you been, buddy?
I've been okay.
Thanks for doing this with me. This is what we like to call a burner around these parts. When this comes out, I'll be completely honest with you guys. My family's in town. I haven't had anybody family-wise visit me in a very long time, and I did not want to have to work the day before they got here. So enjoy a movie review. I enjoy doing these every now and again. Kyle, we were talking. We didn't talk before the recording of this. We were talking like through.
We don't talk at all.
We don't. This is complete. This is a contractual obligation that the two
of
us have to. I don't know, Kyle. I've been asking myself that question a lot lately. You know, you hit an age, you're just like, you know, I thought I'd have everything figured out, but what is figuring out? Anyway, there's a couple other movies that I have picked out that we'll probably wind up seeing at the end of the year. One of them I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on, Kyle, because it's actually a very hard movie to watch. Not because it's bad, but because of the contents of it.
That's why I haven't watched that one.
You know which one I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. They played at the drive-in once. I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm curious to see because it's really only like the first 20 minutes of the movie's really hard to watch in terms of content, and then the rest of it isn't as much. I've seen that. I have a poster of it. I've seen it like a billion times. It's not The Thing, but we're going to talk about a movie today that's a lot like The Thing, and I'm not even going to try to. Say, pretend like you don't know what it is. It's Alien. It's from 1979, directed by Ridley Scott, written by Dan O'Baron and Ronald Shursett. This is what I like to do with these movies. Did I intro this perfectly? Did I do it the right way, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yeah? Welcome to the show. My name is Vince. This is Kyle. Check out the links in the description for the Patreon and the merch and what have you. I love you. Cool. Alien is a 1979 film directed by Ridley Scott, written by Dan O'Baron and Ronald Shursett, and stars Sigourney Weaver, Tom Skerritt, and John Hurt. The movie is about the crew of a commercial spacecraft encounters a deadly life form after investigating a mysterious transmission from an unknown origin. It is a movie that is so ingratiated into pop culture that you probably know a lot of what has happened in this movie, just through osmosis. Kyle, have you ever seen this movie before?
Yes.
You have?
I have seen this one, the sequel, and Prometheus.
So.
And then Aliens versus Predators.
When we first sat down, I asked you originally, did you watch Alien, Aliens, or Alien 3? Because honestly, Alien to Aliens is the perfect sequel name, and then it's just Alien 3. And then Alien...
Yeah, I heard that after a certain point. After, like, when you hit 3, that's kind of where it starts to go down.
Really?
Yeah. And so, Resurrection is like...
Not to spoil anything, but... The last one Sigourney Weaver appears in, I heard that she said she would only do it if Ripley died. Like, she was like, you need to get this character out of the universe. They've been here too long. I don't know how true that is. That's what I've heard. And when she shaves her head, that was Sigourney Weaver's idea. But in this one, she has hair. Also, can we just talk about Sigourney Weaver for a minute?
Yeah.
Dude, I think she's always been beautiful.
She is.
Like, even now.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, right? Like, I'm watching this movie, I was like, damn, this is 79 and she looks as good? Like Dolly? Oh, my God, dude. You ever see Dolly Parton in the 70s? Dude, Dolly Parton. Yo, listen to Jolene, right? And Jolene is about someone trying to, like, take her man away from her. What did Jolene look like? If Dolly looked like that when she wrote it. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely. Anyway, so you had already seen this movie. I've never seen this movie. Yeah. I like to keep in the realm of Apocalyptia because of Atomic Radio Hour. I like to keep in the realm of the end of the world, mankind extinction, you know, a traumatic event that happens and then changes the way humanity goes on from there. Do you think we could review 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Yeah.
Do you think it fits in that realm of, like, a world-ending event? Have you seen 2001?
I have.
Okay. Did you understand it?
A little bit.
Because 2001 and No Country for Old Men are two movies that I will go... I've seen No Country for Old Men an egregious amount of times to still not understand why everybody loves it. But I've also seen 2001 at least once or twice. And I remember walking away from that going, it looks great. And that's it. Like, I looked at a nice painting for 3 hours. You know what I mean?
Mm.
We got to talk about Alien.
We do.
Before we get into spoilers, let's just, you know, what we usually do. Casual discussion. Like we usually do. How old were you when you first saw this?
Oh, God. I don't know. Maybe I've seen clips or something like that, but it wasn't until, like, maybe quite a few years ago I had, like, the collection and I watched them.
How old would you say you were? Just a guess. You don't have to be precise.
Four? 24.
Oh, 24. I was like, damn, Kyle, you're watching this at four? Okay, so I'm going to say one thing to preface what the next thing is. I didn't not enjoy the movie, right?
Right.
But I feel like this suffers from what I call the Beatles effect. And I think I've talked about this before on the show. By time I listened to the Beatles, I had heard everything that inspired the Beatles. So nothing felt new to me. So I feel like I've just seen this movie parodied and referenced, and everything's inspired by Alien, that when I got here, I was just like, yeah, I get it. You know what? But, like, that's not this. I don't want that to take away from what the movie is itself. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like saying that is so reductive, and I'm not trying to be. Like, it's one of those, like, I've seen this done in other ways. Kind of like Tarantino does it a lot, where you'll watch a Tarantino movie and then you'll, like, see what inspired Tarantino and you're like, oh, that shot's taken right from this. That's taken from that. This is here. But this is just like... Also, I wasn't expecting the alien to not be in the movie that much.
Like, yep.
I think the thing has more screen time than the alien.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. What was your favorite part? Could you say it without spoiling anything? Let me ask that before I ask that the second question.
No.
Okay. Is there anything you don't like about the movie that you can say without spoiling anything?
Nothing to come to mind.
Okay. We're about to get into a spoiler discussion of the movie Alien from 1979. Kyle, you ready to talk about this movie with some spoilers?
Let's talk about this movie with some spoilers.
Cool. We're about to talk about this movie with some spoilers. But before we can do that, we have to go to thank the sponsor of this video. So please, take it away. What are you doing here? You shouldn't... This is my medicine cabinet. It's where I put things. Like clippers and teeth paste. What are you... Look, while you're here, and I got you for a second, real quick, I really need to thank the Patreon. On screen now are some of the names of the people who are supporting the show, and I have to thank them real quick. They don't just support this program, they don't just support any of my other stuff, they support the entire channel. This is the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon people that I have to thank, starting at the top with the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Marcus. Thank you, Marcus. After Marcus, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. And last but not least, I have to thank Danish
Hound Dog. Because of these fine folks that are here, I can continue to make new stuff. I can continue to try new stuff. So because of these few names, I'd like to say thank you. I love you. Enjoy the rest of this episode. I guess I'm just gonna go. Why are you here? Why are you in my medicine? Whatever. It's fine.
Kyle, wasn't that nice?
Ooh, short, you know, I love that.
Sweet. How'd you feel about that?
Can I get one? Presenting?
What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say, can I get one?
Yeah, dude, you can get two.
Yeah.
Yeah, just if you sign up, and then use your parents' credit card, which is a really, really like great infinite money hack glitch, because if you still have both of your parents, that's two cards. That's what they don't tell you in business school. Wow. So Kyle, I have the Blu-ray right here.
Okay.
See, that physical media will never die in my home. So it's not, like I said earlier, it's not that I didn't like the movie. I just feel like I've seen all of these scenes.
Mm.
And it's good. The chestburster scene. I knew how that shot was filmed years before I'd ever seen the movie. You know how they filmed it?
How'd they film it?
They had a countdown. So all the reactions are genuine. They had a countdown started. Let's say I'm going to count down from five. And then when I say one, I don't know what the actual countdown is. When I say one, the chest burster is going to pop out of the prosthetic, right?
Right.
They counted down from five, and on three, they did it.
Huh.
And there's like other things that they like didn't tell them everything so they would get genuine reactions out of them. So like I knew that in like 2015 from watching Watch Mojo videos.
Huh.
On my iPod Touch. You know what I mean? Like, I knew all of these things.
Right.
Like, I had seen Adam Savage dress up as the first guy who gets the face hugger on him.
Oh, yeah, John Hurt's character.
But here's my other question about the series, because I am watching the first. I've never seen any of the other ones, right? The right. Alien is never referred to as a xenomorph in the movie. It's just referred to as the alien or the thing, right?
Yeah.
At what point in time do they name it the xenomorph?
I want to probably say aliens.
Okay. Do you think this movie needed sequels?
I mean, I have to rewatch the second one because it's been quite a while. But like, I think like the second one is the perfect one.
Really?
Like, because it's always, I think that was a big, like, they brought, like, the whole, like, I could be wrong because it's been a while, but I just remember that, like, Sigourney Weaver's with a group of, like, military guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, like, a lot of that, like, people knew that. And it's more like, oh, we got the big guns, you know, like, all that, fighting aliens. Mm-hmm.
That's where she gets in that, like, mech suit thing that she's, like, super known for, right?
Yep.
So maybe this is just because I'm not one for sequels to begin with, but after watching this movie, I genuinely think they didn't need to make sequels. I also think the movie could have been shortened by like 10 minutes. If it would have showed her like in the escape pod, putting the cat, who I think might be my favorite character, putting the cat in the little cryo sleep pod, and then I have questions about the sleep pods too. And then getting like seeing the alien and then jumping in the like little room that had the spacesuit on. I think the movie ends there. I think that's a perfect ending because you don't know where it goes.
Yeah.
And then they could have made a second one and then it could have opened with that. But the second one wasn't made until what year? Aliens wasn't made until, hold on, I got IMDb open in front of me.
Well, I think that's the thing with like the ending too. Like you felt like, oh, we destroyed it. We feel safe. We're seeing her escape. And it's like, no, it's still in the ship.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, but I'm saying you didn't have to, I'm not saying you had to have it where one thing happens and then another thing happens. I'm just saying like, I think it could leave it more open. I like open endings.
Right.
Because it allows you to, you know, you go home with a little homework then. Like, right. I go home and I could, like, say you and I went to go see a movie, right?
Yeah.
Well, we did this with Joker. Remember when we saw Joker? We sat in the parking lot for like 30 minutes talking about what we think happened.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I like out of a movie. I like when a movie... There was something I read once, or maybe I saw it. I don't remember. It's like once I put something out, like once I make something, it's not mine anymore. It's now the audience's.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like the idea of that because it's, okay, here is the end. Here is the thing. Now you do what you want to do for the rest of what you need to do. I'm also looking up the date of when Aliens came out, and I'm seeing that there is a list on IMDb called Everything Coming to Streaming in June 2022, and it was updated a year ago. It was updated in 2023. Why is it so hard to find the year? 86. So the next one came out almost 10 years later. And it's not the same director. It's by James Cameron. So, like, that's – I don't know. Also, I would like to point out that I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly, but either Alien is on the IMDb's most popular chart at 92. It's at 100 right now. And at number one is Civil War. 15 is Godzilla and Kong. But I don't know, man. Like, I whenever we do these reviews for movies that are big movies – that I know are cult classic movies, that are important movies, that are pop culture movies, I always try to go in open-minded because I know that there's already a huge, like imagine if you never heard of anything about Star Wars and then just saw Star Wars tomorrow.
Right.
Like, do you think that you would sit there and go, oh, this is where all those references come from? Or do you feel like you'd be like, that's a masterpiece?
I think it would be both.
Really?
Yeah, I think we'd be like, oh, okay, I saw that. But then you're like, whoa, pretty cool.
See, and that's where I'm like tripped up because I think my expectations, like I said, I try to keep them low. But I think my expectations going in was I'm going to understand every reference I haven't gotten from sci-fi in like the past 40 years, 50 years. And this movie does everything I like. It's a monster. It's a guy in a suit. It's a female protagonist. They're practical effects. It does really good tension. I don't know why it just didn't connect with me. But again, saying it didn't connect with me isn't saying that it's not a good movie. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Imagine yeah. going to dinner and it's a new restaurant that you really want to try. And it's like, it's a good meal, but it didn't change my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You say something now, Kyle. I feel like I talk way too much. Please.
How do you like the space aspect of like it's not clean? Like you're not like it's like a dirty or like ship and like space almost.
I prefer dirty space.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer dirty space because there is just so much space that it would make more sense to me that everything would be dirty. Like, do you want, you like Star Trek, no?
Yeah.
Star Trek always seemed too clean for me. Mm. It seems really interesting. Don't get me wrong. It just seems a little too clean. I like when there's, now if clean and dirty can exist at the same time, because I kind of think that's what the ship was going for. They all dress dirty. Like that's what I did really like. They dress like they were blue collar workers. Like they dress as if they work on like an oil field or something. They're plumbers, electricians. I like that. But I like that it was also juxtaposed with how clean like the central area was. Who's your favorite character though?
Oh, I can't remember his name. I like the guy in the Hawaiian shirt.
Bert? Brett?
I don't remember his name.
It's like one of the only movies where I remembered everybody's names, which is wild because you know I can't remember anybody's names ever.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it's Brett. I really liked Ian Holm, the robot guy. For some reason, he reminded me of my dad.
Huh.
I don't know why. I think it was like his hairline and his like chin and neck just reminded me of my dad. But I think the cat might have been my favorite. Jones.
Did you know it was a robot?
No. So that's another thing. I didn't know he was a robot, but I had played a tabletop game, like a board game thing. I used to go to this board game club when I first moved out here, just trying to like meet people, you know, just trying to like get out of the house and figure out what the area was. But I stopped going because I never feel like I made a real connection with anybody. And I realized that it was a lot of like, I'm not trying to be rude when I say this, just dudes who were trying to pipe. And I wouldn't go to a board game club to do that, because there was a time it was like, hey, if you're new, come on over to the new people table. And I was like, all right, whatever. And I went over to the new people table, and 15 minutes after, some woman showed up, and everybody that was a regular at the new people table, like, couldn't stop looking at her. And it made me really uncomfortable. And I thought, you know, I get it. It's hard, especially when you're a 30-year-old virgin. Like, I get it. You know, where are you going to meet people? You obviously don't drink. You don't do drugs. You don't go to the club. All your money gets spent on board games. Like, I get it. But it was just one of those where I didn't feel right. And then after a few weeks, I just stopped going entirely. They were like, what kind of games do you like? And I was like, well, I really like D&D for its social, like, problem-solving aspects. And they were like, oh, so like social reasoning or deduction. And I was like, sure, why not? Like detectives? And they're like, yeah, why not? And they were like, hey, come play this game with us. And it was essentially Alien, but it wasn't called Alien. Like, it wasn't branded Alien. So one of the people that could be on your ship, on your crew at the beginning of the game, like say there's six people playing and cards are all dealt out.
Right. Yeah.
One of them was a person for the company. And it was a robot, and you had to find out who that person was and if that person got in the escape pod or the alien got in the escape pod. So it's kind of like The Thing met Among Us met Alien. I wish I could remember the name of it, because it was a lot of fun.
Mm.
But don't you have The Thing game?
I do.
We have to play that sometime.
We do.
Whenever I come home, we got to play that. But no, I didn't know he was an alien. Oh, excuse me. I didn't know he was a robot. So when he like started attacking her, my first thought was like, did the chest burst? So okay, there was something that I didn't know. So you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to sound cynical, because I'm not. Do I sound cynical?
No,
I'm not. I'm not trying to be. I was just kind of like, I think I had my expectation too high. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Mm.
But when he started attacking her, I was like, oh my god, did the chest burster get to him? Or did the alien like lay something in him and like it did something differently? And like, that's how we get aliens, because I knew that there was only one creature the entire time. And then when he was a robot, how did you feel about the goo inside of him coming out?
You mean the milk?
Yeah.
I it's just so weird. I mean, I get it, because it's a robot, you know, you can't really have like blood or anything, I guess, or something. But like, it was just so, it's so funny and so weird.
Did you see him in an earlier part drinking milk?
Maybe.
He was one of the only people that had a cup that you could see the liquid inside, and it was milk. And I remember seeing that and going, who the fuck is an adult drinks milk? Like, just, I'm raw dogging milk today with my salad? It just, and then when he had the beads of sweat, I was like, oh, that's almost the same color of the acid. I was like, so that's where I thought that maybe the alien had done something to him.
Right.
I like how quiet this movie is.
Yeah.
I like that. I actually clocked it. It's almost 7 minutes before the first line of dialogue is said.
Did you catch, like, when they first, like, oh, mother wants to talk to you, and, like, he goes in and starts talking, like, oh, something's going down, you know? Like, it's something.
What do you mean,
mother catch it? Took us, like, oh, this AI computer, the supercomputer wants them to do something, and they stopped them before reaching their thing, and, like, what's going on, you know?
I mean, I didn't know, so I kind of did. I asked somebody years ago who had seen Alien, what is the actual plot of the movie outside of the alien is attacking? And they were like, they were on a spaceship to bring back cargo. That's all I was told.
Mm.
So when they're like, Mother's prime directive was to bring back the life form and then never do any of the other stuff. Like whatever happens, happens. Just bring back the alien to us. That I was a little surprised by. I kind of saw it coming. We also just got done watching Fallout. So like, I don't trust companies. You know what I mean? Like, have you seen, just quick tangent, have you seen any of the videos they've been putting on Twitter? Like,
I have not.
Prime Video?
They've been
putting out Bud Askins doing, like, promotional videos to come work at Vault-Tec. They're brilliant. They're brilliant. They're animated. They've got that, like, Chuck Jones, maybe not Chuck Jones, but more like Hanna-Barbera era of animation to it. You know what I mean? Like, they're really well done. There's a lot of, like, honestly, I kind of wish they would have made a bigger deal of them, because I feel like a lot more people who are new to the series would have understood a lot more because of it.
Right.
The one I watched today, because it seems like every Saturday they're coming out with a new one for the past few weeks, they like explain why people have Pip-Boys.
Oh.
Like, it's not anything in depth. It's just like, here at Vault-Tec, your Pip-Boy helps you communicate with other people. So like, it's just one of those things that it's enough information. I don't need to know the book on it. I need to know enough information. I need to know the small, like, and that's what I like about this movie is here is the minimal amount of information you need. Go let your brain do what your brain do and let you infer everything that you need to do. Because I said it multiple times throughout this. This is just the thing in space.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is a better movie. I think what does it for the thing is its soundtrack.
Yeah.
This movie has such, and I don't mean nothing in a bad way. I mean nothing as it has such a vacuum of a soundtrack, because it's here's repetitive beeps, which plays in its favor because it makes you feel like you're there. Very rarely is there actually ever music. And maybe it's because this movie's made at the tail end of the 70s, but the thing only happens, what, 3 years later? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm like really split on this film. Like, I'm upset I didn't enjoy it more. Is there anything else you have to say about this movie?
We'll get into
fun facts and everything. But there's a theory that I want to bring to you that I want to know how you feel about it, because I heard it years ago, and I want to bring it up towards the end.
I facehuggers still are disgusting to me because they look too spider-like. It's just gross and like, ooh. But like, I like the aesthetic of it, like that dirty space kind of
like the quietness,
stuff like that.
Like his art.
Yeah,
I that's another thing I can appreciate. It like, you know, maybe shitty word choice, but it looks so alien.
Yeah.
Like the alien relics look so devoid of anything human.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does what it needs to do very well. It's a well-made movie. The practical, you know, I'm a big sloppy slut for practicals, Kyle. Before we move on though, did you watch the 1979 version or the 2003 director's cut?
I don't know. I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, let me Google it real quick.
It was free on YouTube.
It was free on YouTube with ads?
I think. Yeah, because I'm Prime.
Oh. Free with
ads. Xbox has that going on.
What's up?
You get 3 months free with Xbox.
Of YouTube? Really?
Yeah.
No way.
I hopped on that really quick.
You hopped on.
I hopped on and I was like, I don't want to watch ads.
See, I only ever watch YouTube on my desktop, so I just I don't have Adblocker, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
I've never installed Adblocker, and even if I did, which I wouldn't, I would make sure that all my favorite creators have ads because I love them and their entertainment means a lot to me, which is like, I'm not being facetious. Like I do. I need to be entertained. It is 2024. And if I don't have a skibbity toilet video, a sand cutting video, Family Guy funny moments, a GTA ramp happening at the same time, I don't know how I'm going to function. So the version on YouTube that I'm finding seems to be the 1979 theatrical release. And it's owned by Disney. That's so funny. That's so funny. This movie is owned by Disney. So, Kyle, I'm going to give a little bit of a heads up for this one. And I normally don't do this type of thing, but I understand that it could be hard for some people to hear about this thing. So I believe this is what the kids call a triggered warning, right? Who is texting me at this hour? My buddy, you know Austin? He lives by where you used to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just finished Fallout. We were texting about it like all night, and he's like, bro, I gotta call you. And he's just like, I just got home. I'm gonna call you later. Have you ever heard the theory that this movie is about male rape?
I don't know.
Okay, so I know this is kind of hard, and I'm sorry, and I wanted to bring it up because it's one of those things that I feel like is true, and then you go and read like the directors and the writers who have said things about this, and they said it's not, but also the dude from Pink Floyd said that they never did drugs, and that's impossible. So. Like, I'm not going to go super, super deep on it, but I have this article up from Cracked. I don't know how legitimate of a website Cracked is when it comes to stuff like this, because I always thought of Cracked as like a comedy website, and it was like one of the only things I could find. And I got it from a Reddit post, so actually. So I have the Cracked article. I also have another article from the Sydney Morning Herald. I'm going to read a piece on it. I want to know your thoughts. Because there's a lot of things going on in this movie that, like, I kind of knew going into it, and I finally wanted to see it. And then there were some other things, and I just think that I think it's such a wild thing us as men don't fear. You know what I mean? Because we are arguably stronger. We're bigger. And I'm not saying that men don't become sexually assaulted. I'm just saying it's one of those things that is not constantly in the back of our mind. So on Cracked, it says Alien, a film franchise based entirely on rape by David Deitel. The date of this publication is January 1st of 2100. And it talks a little bit about how Alien is about trying to scare men. And, it says, we'll let Alien screenwriter Dan O'Bairn spell it out himself. One thing that people are all disturbed about is sex. I said, that's how I'm going to attack the audience. I'm going to attack them sexually. And I'm not going to go after the women in the audience. I'm going to attack the men. I'm going to put every image I can think of to make men in the audience cross their legs. Homosexual or oral rape, which is a line that has not aged well at all. Birth. The thing lays its eggs down your throat, the whole number. Alien fans already know the creature was designed by Swiss artist H.R. Giger. O'Bairn had worked with Giger on a failed attempt at a pre-David Lynch version of a Dune movie. Giger's biomedical, sexually explicit art had stuck with O'Bairn after the movie fell through, and the dark imagery helped fuel his revenge writing when conceiving the story for Alien. Once the movie was greenlit, O'Bairn suggested Giger to director Ridley Scott, and after seeing Giger's Necronomicon, a collection of art laced with sexual imagery, Scott decided he had to have Giger design the titular alien. So there's that, right?
Right.
There's him saying, and again, I know this isn't something that, like, I enjoy talking about, but the face hugger itself, like, I'm looking at a screenshot right now, is almost vaginal when you see the underside of it. the face or the xenomorph's tongue is very phallic. The head almost look, like I have the cover right here. Like the alien looks like a penis. And I think that's why the men die off immediately. The last two people to die are the women. And when you see the tail kind of come up and go for the last woman's butt, like it's a very weird. It's weird. It makes you uncomfortable, like in every form of the way, to see the chest burst or pop out is like a reverse of penetration and, you know, mother. You know what I mean? Like it's like a Freudian thing. Like yes, mother. Like I think there's also something to be said that the cat is afraid of the alien. You know what I mean? Like the cat, whenever the cat's around, you know the alien is around. Like there's something there that's like feline, feminine, pussy. You know what I mean? Like, does this make sense? Do you think this is grasping at straws, or do you think this makes sense?
I think this is grasping at straws.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, because the other article that I have here, I'm kind of with you, Kyle. I'm kind of with you, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, why, how did so many people see this? And who knows, dude, maybe I'm just part of some elaborate, like April Fool's hoax that like somebody did back in the day and was like, yeah, people will believe this, but like, I see it. Like I can see why you would think that. I'm not saying it's definitive. It's just one of those things that when I tell people, like, oh, did you know that Alien was based on this? And they're like, really? I'm like, that's what I've read. Everyone kind of goes, yeah, I could see it, except for you, apparently. I don't know. I wanted to bring it up. I wanted to know how you felt about it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Okay. sorry. Yeah,
kind of weird.
That is the end of the uncomfortable segment. Kyle, would you like to get into some trivia?
Yes, let's get some trivia.
I get all of my trivia off of IMDb.com, the International Movie Database, IMDb, if you will. The blue laser lights that were used in the alien ship during the egg chamber were borrowed from The Who, the band. The band was testing out the lasers for their stage show and was in the sound stage next door. I'd like to pause and add a little thing that I thought of while I was getting ready before we started recording. I have a feeling a lot of British people like Alien. I don't know why. I feel like any time I've ever seen anybody like on the internet talk about it, 4 out of 5 times, it's been British people. I just thought I'd share that. I don't know why. It's just one of the, you know how it's just like say you go to a new town or a new state, and you're like, damn, everyone drives a red truck here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. The chestburster scene was not filmed in one take, despite the myth. This scene was filmed twice. On the first take, the chestburster was unable to cut through Kane's shirt, so the crew needed to reset and shoot again. The failed attempt is visible in the final film. Since director Ridley Scott thought it made it look like the creature was struggling to push its way out and made the scene more violent, according to designer Ron Cobb, the two takes of the scene were shot from multiple angles, and about 40 minutes of footage was available for the screening.
Shredded, I mean, you can definitely see when it...
What's that?
Like, the blood spurts out and it doesn't show it out right away.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone kind of, like, looks at each other.
Yeah.
Shredded condoms were used to create the tendons in the beast's ferocious jaws. According to Yaphet Kotto, Sir Ridley Scott told him to annoy Sigourney Weaver off camera so that there would be genuine tension between their characters. Kotto regretted this because he actually really, really liked her. Ridley Scott did all of the handheld camera work himself for this film. The handheld camera work is a very, very nice touch. I like how the movie feels very claustrophobic.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Did you know that both Sigourney Weaver and Meryl Streep, no, I said it right the first time, were actresses that had been friends at Yale?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and Ridley Scott started offering the roles. It came down to the two of them. And the only reason Meryl Streep didn't take it is she was mourning the death of her partner, John Cazale, if I said that correctly. Wow. For the scene with the facehugger attacks, the egg was upside down above the camera and the operator thrust it towards the lens like a hand puppet.
Huh.
The writers of the film were inspired by World War II stories about so-called gremlins, monsters that had supposedly stowed away on fighter planes. However, during the early development of their script, they ran into a writing impasse while trying to work out how their aliens could get away aboard the ship. Susset came up with the idea of the alien fucks one of them. Cool. I love that.
A gremlin?
What?
A gremlin?
Well, the alien, yeah.
Oh.
The alien uses the F word, one of them, which was eventually developed in the facehugger concept. This method of reproduction via implantation was deliberately intended to invoke images of male rape and impregnation. So both writers were adamant that facehugger victims be a man, firstly because they wanted to avoid a horror cliche of women being depicted as if they are easy first targets, secondly because they felt that making a female the casualty of symbolic rape felt inappropriate, and thirdly to make male viewers feel more uncomfortable with the reversal of gender conventions. Wow. We have to Google something quick, Kyle.
Oh, do we?
Does Alien pass the Bechdel test? When the Bechdel test first laid out the rules in a 1985 comic strip, the science fiction classic was cited as an example of a film that met its requirements. So you gotta read it like you're a fucking Disney line operator. On the magical world of Disney. It was conceptual artist Ron Cobb who came up with the idea that the alien should bleed acid. This came about when Dan O'Baron ran into the wall with the screenplay in How to Handle the Last Half of the Movie. He needed a good reason for why the crew members don't just shoot the thing and kill it, but still not make it an indestructible monster that can't be killed. The acid idea was what solved this problem.
No, I didn't even think about that until right now.
Neither did I.
I'm like, yeah, why didn't they just kill the... They got to kill the thing. And it's like, oh, no, the whole thing will probably eat through the hole.
And then...
The hole of the ship.
The movie was originally scripted to end with Ripley escaping the no... How do you say the ship's name? Nostromo? No.
Nostromus, I think.
Nostromo? In her shuttle, and the alien dying on board the ship. Ridley Scott thought the ending was way too simplistic, so he negotiated with the studio. What?
I mean, you were just saying that. It's like, oh, this could have ended on the ship.
That last 10 minutes felt like too much, in my opinion. So he negotiated with the studio for an additional $500,000 budget a week for filming to add a fourth act to the movie showing how the alien had stowed away aboard the shuttle. Scott initially envisioned a very dark ending where Ripley tries to flush the alien out, but the creature climbs back into the shuttle. Ridley harpoons it, but it makes no difference. It runs towards her, slams through her mask, and rips her head off. It would have then sit in her chair and started mimicking Captain Dallas's voice, saying, "I'm signing off. Hopefully, the network will pick me up." Really?
Ooh.
20th Century Fox wasn't too pleased. According to Scott, while pitching this idea over the phone, there was a long and uncomfortable silence. Within 14 hours, the studio executive arrived, threatening to fire him on the spot unless he changed the ending to one where Alien would die. Scott later admitted that allowing Ripley to live was a better ending. I think everything outside of the "hopefully I'll get picked up soon" is fine. The xenomorph has about 4 minutes of screen time and doesn't make its first appearance until about an hour into the movie.
Wow.
I typed in how much screen time does the thing have. The first thing that pops up is r/ the Batman film. How much screen time does the Riddler have? Why does Google suck all of a sudden?
I think it's always sucked. It always sucked.
We're just getting older. Kyle, Kids Reviews Common Sense Media. Are you aware of this?
Wait, what?
Are you aware of Common Sense Media?
No.
Okay, so I think it's like a religious website. We're going to take a quick little detour. It's a religious website, but parents can go on there and see if movies are appropriate for their kids. And there's our review, parents say and kids say. I always forget this is a thing. So because I looked up screen time for The Thing, I got the Common Sense Media review of The Thing from 1982. Our review. We're going to do this real quick. I'm sorry this is a tangent of The Thing, right?
Yeah.
Gory Fear Fest is a classic the faint of heart should skip. It's given the okay for 17 and up and a 3-star. Positive messages, right? Trust is fragile. When faced with horror and death, the instinct for survival may overwhelm our innate or learned humanity. Right? So it gave it a 1 out of 5 for positive message. Positive role models, very little, 1 out of 5. Though several of the characters, including the lead player, his name's Kurt Russell, show a little fucking respect, show some admirable qualities. For the most part, it's a very every man for himself and people under stress and fear of their lives exhibit selfishness, untrust, and unheroic behavior. Violence and scariness. 5 out of 5, a lot. This film is about as gruesome as a movie gets, though it is so over the top it almost becomes campy. Body parts are ripped off of people and dogs, humans, animals, and an alien life force are continuously blown up, mutilated, burned, strangled, and shot, including one man is shot in the eye. Men and dogs are transformed into aliens by stretching, melting, sprouting tentacles, and forming hideous teeth. An autopsy is performed close up as organs are taken out of it. Dogs are stalked and killed by aliens, other dogs, and humans. There are many shots of the bloody aftermath of the alien attacks, including decapitated heads rolling around, grisly bodies found in grotesque positions. Dark, suspenseful music builds to scene after scene and subtly scary assaults. Language, a lot. They censored their own curse words. 4 out of 5 stars, a lot. Occasional uses of swearing and obscenities from hell, damn, ass, fuck, shit, bastard, and motherfucker. Hell, damn, and ass are not censored. The other one, and bastard isn't either, but the rest of them are. Product placement, very little, 1 out of 5. JB Scotch and Whiskey Chevron. Whatever. Drinking, drugs, and smoking. Lead character uses alcohol as a crutch in several scenes. Other players drink as the tension increases. One man smokes marijuana. This summer, one man smokes marijuana. Sorry. I forgot about this. So that's like their reviews, right?
Yeah.
They also have, let me go back. They also have parents' reviews. So like, hey, I'm a parent. I don't know what to show my kids, right? Age 2 yeah. plus. This is a fun kids movie that every parent can enjoy. Fun for the whole family. Educational values, great message, great role models. Kyle, I need you to understand, we are doing this every time now. Every time we're coming to Common Sense Media to review them, like see what they have to say. Here's the thing about The Thing. First of all, the movie is amazing, especially the practical effects. In my opinion, the movie is just a hour and a half long study about how truly you don't need to copy people to be noticed. Wow, holy shit, did we get like real commentary? Just do your own thing at some point and you'll be recognized. Just do what you want to do and don't be held behind someone else to make it happen. Would skip if you don't like dogs being harmed or alien autopsies. Anyway, The Thing is a great movie that really goes into some deep study about how you should just do your own thing, but also includes violence. Also watch it. It's really good. Great message. Too much violence. This is a parent of a 12-year-old. But says you should watch it at 13 up. So like there could be like genuine things in here. Like, I don't know about you. I was allowed to watch whatever I wanted as long as I didn't repeat anything. And if I had any questions, ask my parents. That was kind of like the deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Huh. There's also kids reviews, which I think are my favorite horror film from a 14-year-old. The Thing is a horror masterpiece made by the amazing John Carpenter. The film contains a bloodbath when it comes to violence. Sorry, I forgot this shit existed. And, you know, it's my favorite movie. Let's see what shows up with Alien, right? You know what? Let's go back to the fun facts, and then we'll do that, okay?
Oh, God. I can't wait to see what they say about aliens.
When Ridley Scott was asked why Ripley would go back for the cat, he responded with, "I would go back for my dogs." The dead mummified alien is commonly referred to as the space jockey. This is a term which originated from the script version where the crew discovers a man-made building called the Cylinder and a crashed experimental spaceship with a dead human pilot inside, which Dallas calls one dead space jockey. This term stuck with the production crew who applied it to the dead alien pilot that appears in rewrites. The name was subsequently adopted for the creatures and its race by fans for the movie. Even though the name itself isn't used anywhere in the movie, nor the final script, and in the movie Prometheus, they're referred to as engineers. Similar terms, facehugger and chestburster, were used throughout the production to refer to the face-grasping parasite and newborn alien, respectively, and have become widely recognized terms that have used in games, comics, and popular culture, but are never mentioned in the script or on screen in the movies. Lambert, the other woman on the ship, off-screen death, according to the novel, was supposed to be the alien forcing her into a vent that is too small for her to fit. Damn.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ridley Scott pointed out that Ash's quick little jog in place before he gets into the science station to monitor Dallas, Kane, and Lambert's progress might have been a clue to him being a robot, that maybe all robots get stiff and need to keep their joints active. Sure, man. If that's... Yeah. Cool. So this is Common Sense Media's Parent's Guide to Alien, right?
Right.
Female-led thriller, still very scary, has stereotypes. That's the first thing. Positive message. Corporate greed nearly wipes out human space crew through a bloodthirsty alien that's devoid of remorse or consciousness. This is countered by a strong message to never give up and do anything you can to try and save your friends and coworkers. Positive messages, it says, 2 out of 5, a little. Positive role models. 4, I'm assuming, why is that coming up like that? 4 out of 5, a lot. Crew member Ripley shows courage, perseverance, integrity, and persistence of mind during traumatic events. She even takes the time to rescue the ship's cat as surviving crew members attempt to escape the ship. Captain Dallas defies protocol to try and save his crewmate's life. Parker takes great pride in his work, faces danger head on, and leaves no crewmate behind. Diversive representation, a little. 2 out of 5. Ripley was revolutionary when Alien first released as a smart, brave woman and acting senior officer leading the action, but the movie hypersexualizes her. Really? Having her stripped down to a very low-cut underwear and a half shirt. The rest of the crew officers, just shallow diversity. The one black character, Parker, played by Yaphet Kotto, sacrifices himself to save a white character, while Lambert, Veronica Cartwright, the only other female character, is highly emotional. I didn't think that she was being sexualized at all.
No.
Like, going back to the theory about, like, what the movie might be about, that I thought was to play off of, like, childhood trauma, whatever. Violence and scariness. 4 out of 5, a lot. A character sitting down to dinner with fellow crew members falls into convulsions, then dies a bloody death as an alien burrows out of his chest. One by one, characters are killed by the alien. While their deaths aren't shown, gruesome ends are strongly implied. Characters shoot flamethrowers and fire a cattle prod. I don't think you can fire a cattle prod while trying to defend themselves against the alien. Tons of horror movie suspense of the what's around the corner variety. Darkness, jump scares, and strobe lighting heightened the intensity. I didn't like the strobe lights in this movie. And also, everyone shits on modern horror for being jump scares. This is a lot of jump scares, and I just wanted to point that out. Sex, romance, and nudity sounds like prom night. 3 out of 5. Some. Towards the end, a character takes off her uniform, stripping down to a half shirt and low-cut panties with visible butt cleavage. In a scene in one of the pods, there are pictures of naked women in the background breast shown. Okay, I'll give you the background nudity. I mean, I don't think being in your underwear is that bad. Language, 4 out of 5. Multiple uses of fuck, son of a bitch, horses. What is this?
Horses?
horseshit. Sorry. Hell and goddamn. Because to me, horseshit is two words. Wow. Horses tea? I thought it was like horses tits. Character smokes cigarettes in the first quarter of the film. A character drinks a beer at dinner. All right, you want to see what the people have said about it?
Yes, let's do it.
How do I find this now? Okay, parents say. God, it all comes down to the fucking nudity for these people. Lingerie, nudity, and very violent scene. Obviously, many violent, scary scenes, but one scene is worth nothing. For the version we watched, there were times where scenes started and ended. I would recommend completely skipping this scene. Hold on a second. If younger kids, 1 to 21, skipping the scene if younger kids, :1:21. So I'm guessing an hour and 21 minutes in, the start of a very violent scene. It's a robot, but looks just like a man, and the blood is white, but still a very violent scene, which also includes a woman being attacked by this robot. 1:22, so a minute later, full female nudity. There are a bunch of pictures on the wall, full female nudity, completely in focus, and the camera sits on them for a very long period of time and keeps showing them over and over. At 1:27, an hour, 27 minutes and 30 seconds, end of a very violent scene and nudity. Hope this helps somebody. That was written... parent of a 5 and 14-year-old, they gave it 3 stars. There's another one here. Great for 10 and up. 5 stars. A lot of swearing, but you hear most of them. But you hear most of that from the streets. I let my 10-year-old watch, and he was fine with it. Is that all the reviews? Oh, no, why can't I see the rest of them? There we go. Didn't even phase me when I was 9. So it was my 9th B-day, and I was bored. So I went to look for a film on VHS from the VHS era, and I found it stuck in, rewinded, and of course played it after that. And I went all holly jolly, and at night slept straight away. No problem going to sleep, but I guess I'm quite good with horror, so 10 plus. I watched this movie when I was 12 years old and absolutely loved it. I love how everyone's like, I watched it at this age, but then they recommend it for an age 1 higher. I would say it's good for a mature 12-year-old and for early teens. If someone wants a watch that is faint of heart, I recommend skipping the scene with the chest burster and the AI fight scene. It shows an inappropriate poster, so if you don't want your child to see that, cover their eyes. 12 plus. Parent of an 11-year-old. 5 stars. How is this rated R? Great movie. Would recommend. Does not deserve R rating. I don't know if this is a Christian website. I should really find out. It's an organization, commonsensemedia.com. But, like, part of me thinks this is great that you can have this because...
Yeah.
I remember my brother being, like, 6 and going to my mom being like, yo, can I show him Pulp Fiction yet? And she was like, as long as he doesn't repeat anything. Kid. This is a kid review. 11 years old. Age... 11 plus, so I'm guessing that's how old they were, whatever. 5 stars. Common Sense Media is out of their mind. This movie is not 16 plus. Sure, there's a lot of swearing, but really, have you ever gone into a middle school? You hear way worse things when you're there. Kyle, you know what munting is?
No.
Don't look it up. I refuse to not, like, I refuse to not know what is funny with children nowadays. Like, because I want to know what was funny. Like, when we were in high school, what was funny? I want to know what was funny for them. And I've been seeing these brain rot videos, and I saw they keep talking about munting, and I looked up what munting is. It's disgusting, and it's something that you would have heard me talk about all the time when we were in high school because of how fucking gross it is. I would have been, like, in class, or I was maybe like, are we going to learn about munting today? Like, I would have been awful about it. Also, this movie is very close to being the best in the franchise, only second to Aliens. Ripley is also a really good role model, especially considering how rare female leads were at the time. The gore, the little that there is cheesy, and when the dude's head gets pierced by an alien, it's for like 3 frames at most. There's smoking and stuff, but is that really a problem? It was the 70s after all, but yeah, great movie, bit of swearing, some minor gore, but a great role model. That's from a kid. That's from an 11-year-old.
Wow. Wow.
from a 13-year-old. Alien was a great film, but it includes a bit of very detailed gore. 5 stars. This one, 17. Okay, this dude's 17 and he's writing things on this website. Let's read it. 13 plus 5 stars. This is a great movie. Although it contains gore, violence, and some nudity, I'd say it contains sensitive content. For mature children at the age of 12, sounds like a good age to start watching it. With a parental guide, of course, I have run into some pretty disgusting scenes that almost made me sick. And for anyone who wishes to watch it alone, anyone who has experience may be able to watch it at the age of 13. These aren't funny. These are real. Disappointing. Let's see. Stars lowest to high. I want to see lowest. Written by a kid. It says 9+2 stars. I had high hope for this movie. It ain't that good or scary. Holy shit. This is a dissertation. 13 plus, written by a kid. Mediocre best. Okay. So when I was the trailer for this film, I thought I was gonna be extremely scary, and sadly, it was the complete opposite. Now I know. The movie was from 1979. Back then, movies didn't really have the time to make this movie like Michael Myers, when the alien kills people in gory, brutal ways. Now that would be amazing. I feel like this movie could have been more than it was. There was absolutely no blood whatsoever, except the chestburster scene, and the whole entire movie was not scary one bit. Like I said, I love the movie everyone hates. God damn it. This is very hard to read. This is just, there's no periods, there's no commas. The movie's extremely dated. Oh. This is from a kid. It says 14 plus 2 stars. Movie's extremely dated and not that good in my opinion. It's pretty intense and not for kids unless they're mature and not scary and not scared that easy. If I was in charge, I would have rated R for bloody creature violence, gore, and strong language. Okay, Kyle, we're doing this every time.
Okay.
Common sense media.
We got it.
Kyle.
Yes.
What would you say your rating for 1979's Alien, the movie?
I'm going to give it a 8 out of 10 glasses of milk.
I'm going to give this one, I want to give it like a 5.9. Weird allegories that I'm not really sure if are true or not, and I doubt they hold up in the next film, and that's kind of the reason why I said maybe this one should have been made once, especially because the second one wasn't written by or directed by any of the people that were involved the first time. Out of 10, I liked it a lot, though. Like, don't get me wrong, like, that's the thing, is like the whole time I feel like I was like, no, I liked it, it was just, you know, like, I don't know, it's of a different era. They don't make movies like this anymore. The dude in the suit was great. I enjoyed it. I could watch it again. It could go to a 6. I could watch it again. It can go to 5.5. You know what I mean? It depends on how I'm feeling that day. Do you have any final words?
I enjoy this movie. And the second movie I like too. You should definitely watch Prometheus.
I have a feeling I'm going to wind up watching all of them like over time. I've seen the beginning of Prometheus. It was
probably makes no sense.
I want to say it was like not 96. It was like 2016. I want to say. And I remember the woman who used to watch my brother. I went to go pick him up. He was young. He was a little man. And I went to go pick him up and he was watching movies and he loved Prometheus. And my brother was always like into stuff that I don't think he should have been at his age. but so was I. So who the fuck cares? And, you know, now we have common sense media, so we're all good. And I watched the beginning of it with him. I'm sitting there on the couch with him and I eventually just fell asleep, which is a thing. Apparently I fall asleep during alien movies, Kyle. But no, I fell asleep and I remember I woke up and he was like, you didn't watch the movie. And I'm like, dude, I'm working like 2 jobs right now. I'm really tired. That's it. I love you. Thanks for watching the show. This has been Atomic Radio Hour, episode 300. Review of Alien from 1979. Thank you for doing this with me, Kyle. The intro problem. Music is probably by Shane Ivers. I think I just defaulted to using Shane Ivers for the intro music now. Next week should be a regular episode. Like I said, I have some family in town. I wanted to go spend some time with them. I love you guys. Link in the description to the Patreon, to the Redbubble, to the Discord, my Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, show's Twitter. I love you. I'll see you next week. Bye, Kyle.
Bye-bye. Bye, Kyle.
Bye, Kyle.
Atomic Radio Hour. Podcast.
This has been a production made by your friends at Ghoulman Entertainment.